161 and yeah, 161 in my book is 3 pages long on my Kindle. So I'm gonna start where it says, that is the only reason. Paragraph that starts with those words. Thomas Merton writes, may have read him last week, I'm not sure. But I was reading it again, I thought, man, that's kind of something to think about. That is the only reason why I desire solitude, to be lost to all created things, to die to them, and to the knowledge of them, for they remind me of my distance from you. Wow. To be lost to all created things, to die to them, and the knowledge of them. That's solitude. I mean, think about it. Without tempting, when's the last time you were able to just close off totally everything but the Lord?
Sometimes I think that means, and this has been, I mean, I watched an old crazy movie and they were talking about they came from the stars and they were going back to the stars, and I had this thought. It's amazing to me you can be awed by the heavens, not wonder, not be awed by the Creator. Sometimes I think solitude is just even in us living here. I'm sorry, I'm correcting my dog. That we look around and we don't realize everything I look at that I think, oh, that's beautiful. He's behind it. And that's just been on my mind so much lately. And I thought, and then when I watched that movie, I said, I ain't gonna watch this. If you can be in awe of what he made, what's the problem with making a movie and bringing it back to the one who today, look, he's, we should be in awe of him. Everywhere we go.
I agree.
I mean, even if you look at your kids or your spouse or your animals, I mean, this dog, I understand why God loves me. I was stubborn. I was more stubborn than that dog. I had to keep her on a chain in the house for a long time because she wanted to chew everything up. And all it makes me think of, doesn't God love us in our stubborn? You'll hit it. I don't know about y'all. Maybe y'all were just good kids. I wasn't always a good kid.
Still, like you said, God is amazing. We can worship him by enjoying nature because, again, we give him praise and glory for his beautiful creations. It's
Yes.
like, wow. I mean, we can worship him in so many different ways. That a lot of people think you got to go to church to do that. Well, we are the church, it's not our building. But yeah, his beauty, like you said, animals, so many things when you stop and look at it, it's like, wow, God. Like I put the deer feeder up. I've only had deer here once in the last week. Now
Oh, wow.
my birds are loving to eat the corn in the deer feeder. The raccoon snuck in twice at night this last week. I got him on camera. And but I thought, you know, we have regular bird feeders just in the back with sunflower seeds.
Yeah.
Man, yesterday afternoon, the small blackbirds, I don't know what they are with a little orange stripe on them. There was about 60 of them in my yard. I'm like, good grief. You guys are hogging it from all the birds I'm used to feeding. I thought, well, they've got to eat too. I mean, wow, God, you just. And then you go out and you hear the birds chirping in the morning.
Yep.
How beautiful.
No, I think if you're out there, that is solitude when your mind is fixed on him, on the things that we have around us. Because my house, sits in the middle of the woods, but That it to me is solitude, lately, that I look
Yes.
at things and I'm in awe of his handiwork, you
Yes.
know, his
Yes.
creation, even other people, and even understanding the awe of how Satan chains us with our with addictions or sin
Yeah.
and traps us. And he's there. He's there. And he can just speak, and you, and it turns your mind back to him.
Yeah.
I just love it. I just stand in awe of his voice because he we were created for communication. So the first thing he creates is, and God said, that's speaking, and God said, and you know, and we can hear that. And I'm in awe of, I don't know, I'm turning back into a little kid.
Well, I think that's okay because when you think about it, he created all the universes, all the stars, and he cared about relationship with us. Now you try to make sense out of
That's
that
what David said in Psalms 8. David said, what are mere mortals?
Yeah.
You concern yourself with them. Then he said, humans, that you watch over them with such care. He does
Yeah.
it in such a, I mean, you look back, I look back and I know I'm here because he was there.
Oh yeah, always. Yep.
He somehow could but speak, and my mind would turn and go the right way. Not saying I knew I was turning the way he wanted me to go,
Yeah.
but I would turn and go that way, especially when I quit drinking, you know. I didn't always know that that was his watching over me with such care. And I'm kind of in awe of the way he should get all the glory when we make that turn. We should understand he should get the glory when I made that turn.
Yeah.
But he's just quiet. He's just there. And I love the word Emmanuel now because Emmanuel means when he came, his name was Emmanuel. And so he brought God into our realm
Yes.
to come back to be with us. And I love that thought.
Yep. Yep. Because he wanted us to know him better.
Yeah.
So he sent his son as God with us. So Jesus showed us who the Father. I love it when Jesus, I think it was Philip, he goes, show us the Father. And Jesus was like, dude, how long do I have to be with you? What do you mean, show you the Father? You see him in me. I'm in him. And I'm thinking, boy, we could be just like the
Oh. Praise
disciples
the Lord.
sometimes.
I'm glad, you know what? I'm glad he says, Jesus says, unless you become as little children,
Yes.
you cannot enter. And children are so, all, I mean, just remember when your kids were small and you took care of all their needs and you made sure, and they were just, you know, if they were in a safe place, they were just not even recognizing. You're in a safe home. You're safe here.
Yeah.
So I think we do him the same way.
Yeah, this next sentence, I think, or next paragraph, it's boy, that the one before was said by that Thomas Merton guy, okay, and maybe it says, but solitude, like all the disciplines of the spirit, carries its risk. In solitude, we confront our own soul with its obscure forces and conflicts that escape our attention when we're interacting with others. I don't know about you. To me, it's like in solitude, we can stay so busy with others and everything else, we really don't
Yeah.
realize that we have to confront our own soul with its obscure forces and conflicts. We try to stay too busy and run from it, whether it's work, alcohol, drugs, whatever.
Right.
just trying to avoid that. And it's like, whoa, and solitude helps get all that out of the way. And he goes, solitude is a terrible trial, for it serves to crack open and burst apart the shell of our superficial securities.
That's it.
Wow.
That's it. Don't you think? When Jesus, he said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I looked up the word rest in the Greek Hebrew dictionary. I wanted to know what the real depth of that word meant. Rest doesn't mean you're sitting down, you're not doing nothing. Rest means you're going on with the day. You're raising your kids, you're going to go to work, you're going to do that. But in all of that going and doing, you're resting in that solitude. And I call it, and that's a good word for it, that solitude of knowing he's guiding you through that, those times, because Jesus said, you don't know what tomorrow holds. You know, today will be sufficient for the trouble for you. And learning to understand that rest means go on and do what you're supposed to be doing. And he's there. And he'll you can rest in it. I don't know how to say it, but I know how to say it.
Oh yeah, I mean it's true. I was blessed. I went to Bible study, a new men's Bible study Wednesday morning, and then Thursday morning, when I woke up at like 3:33, the Lord's like, "Hey Doug, you know there's a men's Bible study on Thursday morning too." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm already going to one." He's like, "You think one's enough?" I'm like, "Well, okay." I tried that one last year and I really got frustrated and left after four times or three times. So I think you're right. I need to go to that one. Well, the one Thursday was better than the one on Wednesday. But I mean, it was just amazing how when God woke me up early and he does stuff like that, it's just like, you know, that time of solitude, nothing else, taking my time, the phone's off. And I'm just listening to him. And this morning, I give you a perfect example. He said, asking him about the situation with her boss. Okay. So I did. And she talked to her boss today and he took care of the situation. And I'm like, God, that was all you. I mean, this is amazing. And one of the guys, see, last time when I went to Thursday morning study, we had a lesson, we talked, left. Nobody talked to me before class. Nobody talked to me after class. I even got there early to talk to the leader, never said a word to me. And I'm like, God, this is not the family of God. This time, people talked to me before class, after class, the little leader guy of our eight people at our table, we were just talking, and I was telling him about the disciplines. And he goes, because I mentioned it in the group, I said, most of us have no idea what disciplines are because preachers never preach about it. He goes, "What are you talking about?" And so I shared some of the stuff we've talked about. And he wrote me later that day and he goes, "Can you give me the book and the author?" And he's a young man. Well, he's just getting ready to retire from the Air Force. He'd been in 20 years. He got in 206 and he's been in 20 years. So he's getting out in a month. But still, I consider that a young kid, you know, 30 something years old. And I thought, wow, God, you know, you've opened doors for me to meet three new guys at Tuesday or Wednesday morning, and now eight guys together at a table Thursday morning. And that's what I've been needing. I've been needing men fellowship, and you woke me up and said, you can go on Thursday morning. Well, God, I'm already going on to Wednesday. And I'm thinking, why do I have to think one was enough? You know, that stupid programming for who knows what reason, you know? But again, when he speaks to us, it's amazing how he knew he had something planned for me Thursday morning.
And your mind turns. Your mind turns. And it says, turn to me. Turn. Turn. And when he does, like you said, he's not trying to turn your body or face. He's working with that internal thinking you got. And he said, and I love that about him because he is gentle and he is humble. Why would he
Yes.
work with us otherwise?
Yeah. Yeah.
He has to be. I mean, it's not, I just amazed at Psalm 8 where David says.
And I'm not going to set my alarm for 3 o'clock every morning to get up, but he has a way of waking me up. Usually between 3 and 3:50 was the latest. And I'm like, but I've got perfect time, no TV, no radio, nothing to bother me. No,
Right.
Ned's still sleeping. It's just me and him. And it's just like, wow, Father, you love us so much. You want us to spend time with you because you want
Yes.
to spend time with us.
Yes.
Wow. It's like, thank you for waking me up. Thank you for letting me be retired. I can take a nap later today, but it's like, okay. Let's go down. Let's see. We can only survive solitude if we cling to Christ there. And yet, what we find of him in that solitude enables us to return to society as free persons.
Amen.
What does that mean?
I agree, don't you?
Yeah, I'm trying to get Robert to talk.
Okay, Robert.
He's absorbing everything.
That's right. I'm autistic. I take these very seriously. Yeah, I think solitude is not a terrible thing if you're connected with God. But I
Yeah.
think if you're not connected, I think you're wondering what is going to happen next and why are you doing this?
Yeah.
But because I'm retired, I have so much more time with God, and I look forward to it. So it's different. I never had this period in my life. So
That's beautiful.
I was always busy with everything, busy doing this, but
Yeah.
and kept myself obsessively keeping myself busy to not have solitude. So I understand what the difference is.
Yeah.
So,
I think too, we're so busy being responsible. I mean, he was always there when I worked full time. I had two kids, had to raise them. He was always there, but I had to pay attention to time. I had to be work, time. So you're paying attention to time. So, that's just important. And I think after you retire, it's like, well, so your mind rests because you're not paying attention to time and responsibility. I think, I don't know, I just think it's a good time. It's a good time.
It's a great time. But the sad thing is, because I mentioned it to the guys in our group Thursday morning, we can, I look back and I told them, I said, man, I'm studying to be a preacher and I am so busy going to school full time, going to college, being married, that my devotion time for so long was reading my New Testament and Old Testament material for my classes. Because I had to cram everything in. I mean, there was literally one semester I averaged 3 hours sleep a night for the whole semester. But I
Yeah.
may have gone without sleep for 2 days and then got 6 hours. But, and it's like, wow, God, even in that time I was so busy studying to be a preacher, I was never having personal quiet time devotions. You kept me. You protected me and all that nonsense. And these guys were talking about that. It's like, yeah, I've got two boys, and one of them's in this, and one's in this, and we got to, as soon as I get home, I've got to go with this, and I got to do that. And I'm thinking, do we really have to get our kids in every sport out there? I mean, really? No. And so I threw this out to him. I've always loved doing this to people. I preach saying this too to people, especially parents and grandparents. I'd always say, and I told these guys, I said, I got a question. Have you ever noticed if I were to ask you what your plans for your kids are, what you would tell me? I got a pretty good idea. But I said, I've never asked somebody what the plans for their kids are. And they said, I'm really praying my kid will go to a mission field and I'll never see him again. He'll probably die on the mission field, but he gives his life totally to God. I said, I've said that from the pulpit. How many of you parents are challenging your kids to go into the full-time ministry instead of being a doctor or a lawyer or a whatever, a mechanic, whatever, you know? How many of you are encouraging them? I've never had one come up and say, I've been encouraging my kids for that. And I looked at those other seven men Thursday morning and I said, isn't it amazing? We never think of that when we think of our kids' futures. Boy, it got quiet at that table. It's like, woo, you're right. And that's why the guy, I think he got me, he goes, I need the book. I said, well, there's actually two of them. You know, the one we were going to start in Hera by Richard Foster. So I sent him that one information, and then I sent him the one on Willard, the information. So I'm excited for the young man. You know, if he can find new direction and help his two boys, that'd be awesome. Okay, let me see here. Okay, solitude will also pain and threaten our family and friends. Gives an author's name there. Jessamine West says, it's not easy to be solitary unless you're born ruthless. Every solitary repudiates someone. Others need us to keep their lives in place, and when we retreat, they then have to deal with their souls. True, they need God more than they need us, but they may not understand this. Wow.
But I think that's what Jesus showed his disciples, because he knew he was going back to the Father. Of course, he also knew he was sending the Holy Spirit, but he also they watched him for 3 years. Just watched him. So I think he knew they were ready. I think when we're like with Crystal and Dustin, I see her now and she just got her head in the Word and working, and her two boys are grown, and I input a lot to her life back then. But now I see she's up and running and following. And so I think a season, they need. But we also need to show them how to have solitude. You can spend time alone with them, and that's what I would always counsel her. And then I would say, give her a scripture, and I'd say, now go read this and get alone with God and let the Holy Spirit show you. So I think that's important too, Doug. Don't you?
And I, you know, again, how many parents do that with their kids? They're so busy taking them to soccer, basketball, football, every sport there is as soon as school's over. Get home, get your homework done, get to bed, get up in the morning, do it all over again tomorrow. And it's like, wow. You know, I mean, again, I'd only ever been on one retreat until I went to Florida and spent another week of retreat, more or less, at that one program we all went through in Florida. But I mean, if we as adults have never experienced these disciplines and saw someone practice them or teach us a little bit about them, how could we ever pass them on? I mean, we can. And that's what I told them. I said, guys, I never heard a preacher preach on this, and I never preached on it because I didn't know them. I didn't understand this. So you're right. I you know, it's like, wow, Lord, teach us to maybe even, like you said, sharing like you did with Crystal or someone else that comes up and says, man, I'm going through this, and this, and just being able to say, well, let me have you think of this. What if you just set aside one day, half a day, whatever your schedule, you can force yourself to discipline yourself and just be quiet with God, just total solitude, just you and him, you know?
I think because that Holy Spirit, the new covenant he put us under is where we're under the Holy Spirit, and he writes it in our heart, puts it in our mind. He don't write it It is written in the Bible, but it's more, he's writing it in your heart.
Yes.
And I think more importantly is, yeah, I'm here. You can share all you want with me, but I'm going to point you right back to a portion in this book to get alone with God and let the Holy Spirit, because I can say it all day, but I don't know that internal working, your mind, how it runs. And so, but the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And he said, I know them. And we're all different in our, the way we went, do this journey. You know, if you were not a person that has ever had an addiction that drug you through the, down to the gutter, my mind totally operates, you know, I need it. I don't know. Everybody's different. And God knows that.
Yes, thank goodness. It'd be horrible if he created us all the
Man.
Yeah, I had so much fun today. I gave platelets last Saturday. First time I gave platelets in quite some time. And so I called a number and I said, when can I give them again? It's not written on my paper you gave me. No, you can give them every week. I said, okay. She goes, yeah, I see. It's funny. The blood mobile people here in Arkansas are the same ones in Oklahoma. It's
Oh,
the same organization. She said, well, yeah, you signed back up in 220. I said, man, there's no way I'd remember my name or my username or password or anything. She goes, well, I got your username right here. Let's see. It says JC is IS
wow.
King, KING.
Yeah.
I said, yes, ma'am. JC stands for Jesus Christ. She goes, praise God, you gotta be kidding me. You just don't hear that anymore. Just something that simple
Yeah.
got her excited. And then we were talking about Jesus. You know, it's just like, wow, the Lord is so good. We went into what's one of those crazy places where you get all the great big deals of toilet paper and all that stuff. I can't think of the name of
Costco.
it. Huh?
Costco. Sam's Costco.
The other one, not Costco, the other one.
Sam's.
Sam's, I think. Yeah, I think that's the one we got to. Anyway, I'm not kidding you. I walked in, and a lady was trying to push the carts together that worked there. And I said, here, let me help you. And I did. She goes, well, God bless you. Thank you. Three people just walking through there looking at them stopped. And we talked about God. Boy, what is it today? This is really cool. I've never gone and had that happen before.
That's a
Wow,
good
God, you're amazing.
thing.
Oh, goodness. Okay, let's get back to the book. Jump down to the next paragraph. It says, of all the disciplines of abstinence, solitude is generally the most fundamental in the beginning of the spiritual life, and it must be returned to again and again
Man.
as that life develops. How true is it that often we try something like solitude or something and it works once and so we check the square and we go looking for something else?
I never did a go hunting solitude. I needed it. I needed it. Not will anyone probably ever understand, because after I got locked up, you know, they put me down at Bonita. They diagnosed me as a paranoid schizophrenic. And if you've never been in, like, in that kind of fear, you know, then you probably won't understand. But in that, when he finally turned me around, that fear did not go away. And I would be so needy of coming to that table every morning and reading the word to hear what he had to say, how this day was going to go. I can remember being, I had a boss and she was so, she got so angry at me. And with that kind of fear, you're like, okay, I finished the day and I left. And I said, not going back. She's too mean. not going back. And I needed the job. But I remember getting up and, of course, going to the wire because that fear was there, and reading the Psalms. This is how childlike you are with that kind of fear. So I read the scripture and it said, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those that fear him." And immediately in my mind, imagine, like a Western, a wagon train. How they was just round up and they'd be fighting. And I said, "Oh," I said, "you're going to surround me today. She won't see me." That's how childlike I had to be. And he was like, "Yes." I said, "So she won't know I was there, but I'll go ahead and do my work and I'll clock out and she'll never see me." He said, "Yes." And I was so childlike, I said, "Well, if you'll do that, I'll go on back and do my job." So I did go back that day, and it was a busy day at the paper. But I had to clock in, so I clocked in, went straight to my computer, and I did the typing, typesetting for the newspaper. She never said a word to me all day. She never even looked at me. And so when I clocked out all the way home, I was like, "Oh, thank you, Father. She never even saw me." But they knew I was there because I clocked in and out. Childlike. And yet, now I look back and I think his word gives you everything at that time in your moment. But that wasn't a tremendous time. I had extreme fear, even though he had brought me back to him. So it's sometimes I think you really have to allow him to just get them pointed to the book. He knows where to put them so they hear him.
Again, so much he loves us to let us teach us through those kind of situations.
How does he do it with us? I was in my 30s. Come on, Doug. I was a grown woman. You could have looked at me and thought, "Jesus, no." No, in my mind I was, well, you couldn't understand unless you've ever been there. But he just slowly walked me through. Now, you tell me, do we not serve an awesome God?
Yes,
Isn't
indeed.
that what, David, how does he, humans, why do you watch over them with such care? Well, I mean, I look at me and realize you better watch over me.
Nancy, you reminded me of something. I'm going to ask you too to remember this in prayer. I don't have the person's name, but we have a little diner that we actually met for the men's Bible study Wednesday morning. And it's a diner we've been to before. And one of the waitresses is always nice and kind, but she was getting ready to explain what the beads were on the wall over there. Because I'm pretty naive. There's a lot of things I don't know about the other lifestyle. And she'd gotten them at the Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Well, you only get those when you show your breast and then they throw the beads to you. See, I didn't know that. So
Now
she
I
had a
didn't.
couple of beads of everybody at the table knew. Annette knew, and the other couple knew. I had no clue. And she was getting ready to say something about the beads. And I go, "Yeah, my wife just explained that. I'm a preacher. I don't understand it." She went, "Oh, oh my God, I'm glad you told me that before I start talking." She goes, "My grandfather was a preacher." But then I asked her one time when we were over there, I said, "How well do you know your grandfather?" "Well, he died when I was young. I really didn't know him very well." But she goes, "I'm just a sorry heathen, and there's no hope for me." And she's one of the nicest ladies in the world over there. So when I saw her Wednesday, we hadn't been back over there to eat for a couple of months, and saw her Wednesday morning. God was telling me, he goes, that she knows and you know. So even though there's a whole group of men there, I'm gonna go, I don't know why you're running from God, but he said he wants a relationship with you and he loves you. And he just told me to tell you that. I mean, that's what I'm gonna tell her when I see her Wednesday. And there was actually someone in Hera I did that with God. I mean, God just gave me a message, said, you've got to go tell this person this. I'm like, you've never really been this specific before, God. What's the deal? And this person said she had been raised there in the Baptist church, but didn't go anymore. Had a lifestyle of her and her husband switching partners and all this stuff
Oh,
together. And God said, just go tell her she needs to come home. I walked into her work area. I said, can I talk to you for a minute? She goes, yeah. Because she knew me. I'd always go out and visit work areas there in town. I said, I need to close your door because I have a message for you. She goes, yeah, go ahead. And I said, God told me to tell you, you need to come home. He didn't say that was heaven. He didn't say which home he was talking about, but he said, just to tell you, you need to come home. And she just sat there staring at me. And I said, I'm just the messenger. I love you. Have a great day. See you later. And I'd see her once in a while eating at the Mexican food place with her husband and stuff, but never knew that she ever came back to him yet. But it's like, wow, God, when you open those doors in our times of solitude and you say, you need to do this, you need to call this person, you need to say this to, it's amazing. I don't, it's just like, wow. Wow, God, you're that good to us that you love us enough to put us in situations where we can plant seeds and somebody else will be watering it. But so, yeah, keep me in prayer for Wednesday morning when I go back over there.
I will.
Because I've got to tell her. I mean, God said, because it's funny. She came over and she's pouring coffee. She had her coffee. They opened the doors and she already had like eight coffees for people, and I don't drink coffee. So one of the guys sitting by me, she's refilling his cup and said, well, can I warm you up? And I just turned and looked at her and I go, well, yeah. And it hit her. I didn't have coffee. She goes, I didn't give you a hug, did I? I said, no, you didn't. So she bent down and gave me a hug, And that's just what we did every time we'd go over there, Annette and I. She was just that kind of a person. So it's like, okay, she still has the goodness there. Why she's running from God? I'll say, if you ever want to talk about that, let me know.
There's a thing that he's the only one can make her understand. I know there was a time when I thought he hated me. He'd never forgive me.
See, I think that's where she's at. Exactly.
But that we do it, but we shouldn't, but we do know. That means she's got a conscience. That means she's still got a conscience. Because it's just when you're leaning on your own understanding, which that's coming out of your sin nature. Then, of course, it's not ever going to want you to think, why would God forgive you?
I
Why would.
know it's where she's at.
Yeah,
That's
so.
sad. That's where she's at. You need to let her know there's an option.
Jesus said, behold, this is in Revelations. It's the chapter 3, the church of Laodicea. And that's really where we're at. We're in a pretty bad time right now, even some churches. But Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If someone hears me, and it was like just a reaffirmation to me is that he's knocking at our door. He's there. It's when you're ready to say, whatever it is and accept. Oh, because all he said to me when he finally was ready to turn me around is he said, I heard this thought that he said, maybe he will forgive you. And immediately I said, no, he'll never forgive me. And he comes again. Maybe he will forgive you. And I was like, no, he will never. And I was like, well. And then it came a third time. And I said, well, I wonder if he would forgive me. And that was all it took. But he knows perfectly when he can turn you that knock and you turn. So, I mean, yeah, I would say you do it because you don't know what he understands about her heart, what her old nature is feeding her about her life, because we're so busy looking at what we physically have done that he's not even he told Samuel, don't look at the outward appearance of him.
Thank goodness.
He said, God looks at the heart. He don't look at the outward appearance. And I think we even forget that sometimes. Yeah.
Amen. You gonna say something, Robert?
Oh, I'm just listening away here.
Speak up.
Well, I don't usually get involved with more than one conversation. That's a problem for me. So I can listen, but then it's hard for me to go from person to person. But I can only tell you that it's because we feel shame. We preach shame in the church. So how are people going to come back to God when you're told you're a filthy loser if you didn't do all these works? So I got all that when I was young. The solitude part was easier for me because I got away from people and away from the criticism and stuff. So that probably saved me. But people are brutal. I listen to I'm on Facebook every day, so I listen to so much criticism about everything, whether this person is doing that or that person is doing this, and we're ruthless on each other. So how do we expect to know a God of love when we're ruthless? So the Spirit of God has to anoint us, and we have to be kind to people. And they have to be safe, right? They have to be safe. And then they have to want a quite a loving relationship with God. And then it's a miracle how God works with all of us.
Amen.
We're all somewhat defective in one way or another, but he uses all that and he has a plan. I work on that all day long, and his plan is 100% the Father's will.
Amen.
There's no such thing, as missing God's will, because when he created you, he knew how you would respond and how you would fail and how you would be turned around. And he's just, why we live in the moment is because he's making us.
Amen.
He's creating us and
Amen.
he's shaping us. And if we understand that, I used to get really angry when things went wrong. I thought he was punishing me instead of saying, oh, I need to pay attention here. He's got a message for me, and it's okay if I sit down and quietly listen. But I didn't
Amen.
learn that till I was older. So it
Hey,
is something to learn when you're younger.
I learned early in going back to church because I went back to church and out here at Hera where everybody knew all I'd ever done. And I learned early, everybody don't understand forgiveness. And I learned early, I'm going to be careful. I'm going to look for the people that I can be honest about myself. And they understand I'm a sinner. And maybe you never got dragged as far as I got dragged in my sin, but they were people that comprehended. We're all sinners. We're all
Well,
sinners.
I'd have to say that it's due to ignorance if you think that you're righteous before God. It's absolute denial of you and God. You do not know him. If you think you're righteous, you do not have not been in his presence if you think you're righteous. And if you can condescendingly come against a group of people, you're not speaking with the Holy Spirit, because Jesus didn't condemn. He came to save the elect. He preached the gospel and he surrendered his life, and we're supposed to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So
And
that's part of the discipline, is to just do what he tells you to do. And I'm
now,
doing that now. I'm terrified. I'm absolutely terrified. This year is more terrifying than any year in my life, because I have something, and now it's being communicated broadly, and it's, what is he up to? And then I go, it doesn't really matter, because he's in charge, so you just have to let him do what he's going to do.
Amen.
But I can't figure him out for the life of me what he's going to do next.
Well, that's good.
Well,
You got it.
but it's good things he does, so it's not like.
Go over there, and when you feel that terror, go over there and look at First John, where Jesus, where it says, "There's no fear in love."
No.
Whatever he's got to do, and that is something I clearly got. And that's what I shared last week was I never understood that commands came out of his love. That's a warning. Even though he commanded, that was a warning. He loved you. He loves you, but he don't want to, he's not going to take away your freedom to choose. And so that's love. Although when you make a wrong choice, he'll certainly jerk you back. But there's no fear in love. Perfect love. His love, not yours. That's where I fall every time. Perfect love casts out fear. Because I know with all my sin, going back to the church and being around people that some people are cleaned up and they can't forget, like James said. When you go to the mirror, you clean your face, and you walk away, and you forget what kind of person you are. Well, you're a sinner. You're carrying a cross. It all the stains. They're that sin, and that's what he puts in remission. But he does it from the inside. So you carry that cross, and I think some people forgot they're carrying a cross, but it just they'd realize. It only took one tree, one bite off of a fruit for Adam to die. That's all he did. Bit off of a tree. Well, what kind of sin is that? But over that sin, we died, and death came into the human race. So come on now, even if you ain't done all that anybody else has ever done, you were born in sin. And don't forget what your face you're looking at. Is that cross you're carrying?
Well, let's close in prayer, and we will not be meeting next week because I'm not going to be here.
Where you going?
So,
we will meet in 2 weeks from now, Lord willing, if we're all still here, and if we're not all still here, we'll meet up there. So whatever he has planned, we will accept that. Okay.